Is the upcoming Fantastic Four movie set in a different universe than the Avengers? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Fantastic Fours, and much more. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. How are you doing, Roxy?
I didn't know how many Fantastics there were until four.
Until four. Fantastics. Mm-hmm. Did you know, we're going to get into this more, did you know that there have been four live-action adaptations of the Fantastic Four?
Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah! So, for long-time listeners of the show, we're going to be experimenting with the format a little bit, trying to do things a little bit different. We're going to be a little bit more focused in this episode, really drilling in on the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, which is hitting theaters, should be hitting theaters in 2025. Obviously, there's the news of Julia Garner being cast as Silver Surfer. We're going to be getting into all of that. But if you like it, share this out. Tell people. Let them know. We're going to be trying to do different stuff and seeing what people like and don't like. If you've got notes, leave them in the comments. And if they're nice, like polite nice, I'll read them. If you're mean, I'll probably read them anyway, but I won't acknowledge it. So this week, we're talking about some Fantastics Four, but a little bit business up top. As always, if you want our Patreon-exclusive show, like What We're Into or Spider-Versity, you can do that over at Patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. If you listen to this on Spotify every week, we ask a question. Last week's question was, what's your preferred streaming service? Tono Kiepo, I apologize for not getting your name right, Dropout and Netflix. Roxy, is Dropout a streaming service?
Dropout took over for College Humor. College Humor.
Got it.
Or Funny or Die, or something like some, one I of think those. College Humor. Yeah, yeah. And yes, and is awesome. I watch their stuff all the time.
And that's like that's not like a channel. That's like a full-on streaming service.
There's an app. I don't actually know because I check out a lot of their stuff on YouTube.
Okay. I was going to say, because you and I work for a channel.
It's called Dropout TV. Let's see if they call it a streaming service.
Yeah, because I'll be interested, because you and I worked for a company that tried to do their own streaming app, and it did not go the way they hoped.
I do know what you're talking about, but maybe I'm just watching some of their biggest things, because, yeah, Dropout TV, you have to sign up for it.
Oh, well, God bless.
You get 20% off your first year.
Ooh.
Some of their stuff that I have seen that was so funny.
Well,
I have
good
to
for
say.
Them. Good for them. Xavier says the free ones, LOL.
I'm with you.
Oh, Juan E. Bilardi. Max is honestly the easiest to navigate, and I can quickly get to my watch list and continue watching. Comments like that let me know that everybody, depending on what you're watching on, has a different experience, because you've talked about how convenient Netflix is for you, and on my Roku TV, Netflix is not. And Max is a little bit iffy. The only one that seems to run smooth are Disney Plus and Hulu. That's it. Everything else, it's like, what glitch am I accessing today?
Yeah, I don't find Max to run easily at all. So
yeah, the one that got me is recently. Is on watching Tokyo Vice. My wife likes to watch things with subtitles. I don't. So I go to turn the subtitles off, but then that would also turn off the subtitles for when the character is speaking Japanese. It's like, no. That I need it then, because I don't speak Japanese.
That's what happens? Oh my God. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Well, then I have to get out and get back in, and then it's fine. Whatever. Point is, Hulu and Disney run smooth for me on my platform, but maybe not for others on theirs. Yeshua Wazalusi says probably Hulu first, then Apple TV Plus, then Crunchyroll. Roxy, you're going to be bummed to learn that I dropped Apple TV recently because I wasn't watching stuff on it.
Wow, that is a bummer. Although the most recent thing I saw on Apple TV was not good.
Was that the Constellation one?
DJ, I can't even wrap my brain around what they were trying to say.
That seems to be the experience. Apple TV does a good job where everything is kind of similar in tone, like vibe almost, But some of that is some of it is either Silo and Severance, which is some of the best TV I'm watching, or it's like, why'd you make this? Why is this a thing?
What was the point? What were you trying to say? Although Manhunt is Apple TV, I think, and that's very good right now.
I also, Abe Lincoln show. It's going to be more sad once friend of the show Jason finds out that I'm not finishing For All Mankind. It was very good, but I wasn't watching it, so I just had to drop
that show.
He loves that show. Yes, he's a big proponent of For All Mankind, and it's a good show. That if I, you know, if I was watching, I just you got to cut corners where you can. And then finally, Bridnib says Disney Plus. Roxy, I feel like we might have mentioned this. What on the last episode? What is your favorite? Is it Apple TV? Is that the favorite?
I mean, I think that Netflix is my must have always.
Yeah.
But yeah, Apple TV. Although Max, I mean, we just had the Curb finale. It was like the greatest thing ever. So it's hard to not. I feel like you're trying to kill me when you ask me that question. Gotcha. That's what it feels like inside, DJ. Like it's like asking somebody like you can only watch one comic book property ever. Which one's your preferred one? Well, and it's like, what?
And also it's tough too, because are we talking about experience with the app? Or are we talking about content? You know?
Right.
Because some of like Max, although this is less true, unfortunately, Max used to be like, well, you can't, Max has, it's the one with HBO. You got to have Max. But I do think, I think it's still probably, we've had this conversation a couple times. And I think because of the FX factor, I still think it might be Hulu. Like Hulu might be like right now, the best show I'm watching is Shogun. That's on Hulu.
Me
Hulu's
too.
Also the one I have the easiest experience with. I will say this, that I wish more apps would pick up. I think Disney Plus is the only app where it's like where I click on continue show and it takes me to the show page. It doesn't try to play the last like 3 minutes.
Why do they do that? Why do they always go to the last 2 minutes of the episode? Like that was credits. That was just credits.
Take me to the page. Take me to the show page. I'll select the episode I want to watch and we'll go from there. That's perfect. Don't try and guess what I'm trying to do. Just take me to the show page, please.
It's so crazy. Yeah. Like, can they take any notes from us? Because everyone has that same note.
Yeah, I know. It must be, I thought I had a breakthrough on why it must be, and now it's totally shot out of my brain. I think it's because what I've started to do, this is so silly where you're trying to game the system. When I was watching Tokyo Vice, it was like that little thing comes up in the corner, like 4 seconds till the next episode. And I let it play that out before I stop. So that way, when I go to play the next episode, it is the next episode. It's not like the last whatever few minutes.
I'll hit it now and hit play next episode and then X out.
Yeah. Just to get,
but it is frustrating. Yeah. It's like if it's the last 5 minutes of an episode, nobody's stopping with a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
No one.
Yep.
That's serial killer stuff.
Yeah.
Get nobody's doing that. But just by sheer volume, I have to say Netflix, if gun to my head, because I watch too much TV to pick any other app as the number one.
Right? Yeah. I think that totally makes sense. For me personally, we have Netflix because my wife watches a bunch of stuff on Netflix. I don't. And also Netflix always crashes on our TV and it's very frustrating. So I do. It's not like I don't watch things on Netflix. It's just not my preferred go-to. Yeah. When was the last thing, other than something I watched with my wife, what was the last thing I watched?
You didn't watch The Gentlemen?
No, but I want to because you know that's my jam. Like I have mixed feelings about Guy Ritchie generally, but like, you know, scummy crime thriller shit. I love that shit.
So fun. It's so fun, DJ. I thought that show was so fun.
I'll check it out. I've been meaning to, but obviously we got a lot going on. Next week we'll probably be talking about Fallout, and that's taking up my time because I really like it.
Me too. You and me both.
Okay, let's get into our news. This dropped last week while Roxy was out of town, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but it keys up our main topic today, which is the Fantastic Four. One of, I was going to say Roxy's favorites, but I think generally a favorite here in this household. Julia Garner has been cast as the Silver Surfer in the new Fantastic Four movie. This is via Deadline. While plot details for the film are unknown, sources say Garner will play Shala Baal, a version of Silver Surfer from the comics. That is generous. Shala Baal played a version of Silver Surfer at the end of an alternate reality story with Norrin Radd. Saying it's from the comics, like, well, you're being a little you're being a little generous. But Roxy, did you see this when during your travels? Do you have feelings about it?
Yeah, I saw this. Here is my full list of feelings, and I'm way more interested to know your feelings on this. But my full list of feelings are, I have no attachment to this character at all.
Yeah.
I think Julia Gardner is the best actress of her generation. She, like, seriously a top 10 for me. I think she is just unbelievably talented. I don't know if, and I know that this is gender bending a character that typically goes male.
Yeah.
Those are my extent of my whole bit of knowledge and thoughts on this.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
You tell me what's going on with this.
Well, we've talked before on the show how like Twitter/X is functionally useless now, but I have geared it into a way where I don't see a lot of the bullshit. So, but what I see instead is a lot of like our peers complaining about things that I don't see. Like, I can't believe people are mad about this. Like, are they? Because I'm not seeing that. And when I was getting everything ready for the show, I did see some of the YouTube thumbs that are like, MCU, nobody asked.
Yeah, I saw that.
All that garbage. And I don't want to be a part of that garbage. That said, I think this is dumb. I think this is a dumb choice for a few reasons. I am a fan of Silver Surfer. And I think like, okay, so if you wanted to change the gender of the character, I don't know that Julia Garner would be my first choice in that situation, mostly because I know she's incredibly talented. So I am more than willing to eat my words when the movie comes out and she's great. But I know her more as Girl in Peril. Like that's like the assistant Girl in Peril, Royal Helltale Girl in Peril, the Americans Girl in Peril. We have gotten a lot of great memes on Twitter/X of people taking clips from Ozark, which I haven't seen, of her screaming various things and like, you know, Silver Surfer to Galactus or Silver Surfer to Reed Richards, and it's just her from Ozark screaming like they're gonna have to kill her or whatever, and I'm like, this is funny, I'll give you all this, this is very funny. So maybe in Ozark it's different, but it's just one of those, like, I would think somebody a little bit more alien feeling, like a, I know Charlize Theron was at the end of Doctor Strange, spoilers for that movie, but like a regal alien, Charlize Theron, maybe an Anya Taylor-Joy. I feel like that would be.
I feel like that's so Julia Garner's lane.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. The people that you just said is exactly like, she strikes me as similar to an Anya Taylor-Joy or who's that girl that we love from that horror movie where they play a game where you have to play hide and seek.
No, keep going. We'll get there. Hold on.
The girl, she's blonde.
Ready or Not, that movie?
Yeah.
That looks like Margot Robbie?
No. No, it's not Margot Robbie. She's the star of the movie, and she's playing hide and seek.
Play at home. Play at home, everybody. Tell us in the comments. What are we getting at?
I always think she looks like Anya Taylor-Joy. She's like a horror scream queen. Samara Weaving. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, that's
that's who it is. Margot Robbie.
Well, she looks like Margot Robbie is what I said. She looks like
Margot Robbie. Oh, and then you said it's Margot Robbie.
No. She looks like the girl that's famously,
Okay. That movie was great, by the way. But I find her to be in the same categories: Anya Taylor-Joy, Samara Weaving, Julia Garner.
Yeah. Okay.
She kind of has that alien vibe. But to step back for a second, DJ, can you just give me like a brief bullet point on Silver Surfer?
Yeah. So traditionally, Silver Surfer is a character named Norn Rad, who is an astronomer on a planet. Am I going to be able to remember the planet right now? Oh, no. What's his planet name? Doesn't matter. He is an astronomer on an alien world that Galactus shows up and Galactus eats planets, and he's going to eat their world. And Silver Surfer makes a bargain with him that he ends up becoming Galactus's herald, which functionally he's going to find other worlds. Hopefully Zen-La, that's his planet. So Galactus is going to eat Zen-La. So Norn Rad's like, don't do that. I'm going to help you. If you make me your herald, I'll find you 100 other worlds to eat instead of Zen-La. And so they leave Zen-La behind, including the love of Norn Rad's life, which is Shala Baal. And that's you know, where we meet him is when I think he's been doing it for like years or even maybe even centuries. They come to Earth and encounter the Fantastic Four, and through the humanity of the Fantastic Four, and specifically Sue Storm, Silver Surfer is able to regain a semblance of himself, and they're able to stop Galactus from eating Earth. But then Silver Surfer is banned to Earth until he gets his own comic, and then he's able to explore the solar system, and he kind of becomes, he's famously a character that Stan Lee has said is one of his favorite creations. And he's kind of the, just kind of like Doctor Strange is the hub for which a lot of the supernatural characters circle around. Like, he's kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to the supernatural characters. Silver Surfer is similar to that. And like Doctor Strange, tends to be a conduit for the bigger cosmic stories in Marvel. And he's a very cool character. And I think that, also, one must admit, as I'm going to be like, I don't like this, the character's name is Silver Surfer. Like, it's, you know, it's silly comic book shit. But I will say, any of the actors that they had, that were circling Reed Richards, probably would have been a good choice for Silver Surfer. I think Dev Patel would be amazing. Although, having just watched Monkey Man, I'm convinced he'd be amazing at anything. He could pretty much do anything. Matt Smith would have been good. I think my issue with this is not only is it's not just Silver Surfer's a girl now. It's not even Norrin Radd. It's not Norrin Radd. Norrin Radd's a girl now. It's Shelah Ball. It's a completely different character. For the comic nerds out there, it'd be kind of like, we're finally introducing Ghost Rider into the MCU. And you're like, oh, is it Johnny Blaze? It's like, no, it's his love interest, Roxanne. It's like, well, that's not Ghost Rider. That's just a different character. That's Roxanne with Ghost Rider, but that's a different thing.
I'm trying to think of, because I have seen a couple Fantastic Four movies. Yes. Don't remember much about them. Just remember well bits liked. And pieces.
The Fantastic Four movies aren't well liked.
So I was like, who played Silver Surfer in the past? So Doug Jones was Silver Surfer?
Doug Jones did the motion capture for Silver Surfer. Lawrence Fishburne did the voice.
Yeah. Okay.
And Lawrence Fishburne's a great choice to do the voice of Silver Surfer.
And so in the couple pages that the female Silver Surfer, and is her name Silver Surfer as well?
She gets the same powers. I'm not hugely read up on Earth X, but it's one of those that, you know, Silver Surfer makes a deal. So now both he and Shelah Ball together are Silver Surfers simultaneously.
Okay. So in the couple of pages where she existed in the comics, was anybody clamoring for this, or like, have people talked about that, or
not that I know of? And it's led me to think of, not that you couldn't just do this just to have a more diverse cast, which I think is completely valid. I don't know going. Yeah. It's completely valid. I've been trying to think of but it doesn't feel like something Marvel would do just because, so I think something that struck me that I felt like could be the reason is, it wouldn't surprise me if they want to set up a romantic interest for Johnny Storm, aka the Human Torch. There was another Herald of Galactus, so different power set, but doing a similar role, Silver Surfer, called Nova. Her human name was Frankie Ray. That was a love interest for Johnny Storm. And so I think maybe we're pulling from that to... I just wouldn't, again, this is wild speculation. This might not be how the movie plays out at all. But if you see a little romantic subplot with this version of Silver Surfer and Human Torch, don't be surprised. And I would also argue, you could just do that with Norrin Radd. You could just, you know, she doesn't need to be a woman for there to be a romantic subplot. So it feels like we're pulling from a few different iterations from the character. On a more practical note, I think, as you've mentioned, you don't remember the Fantastic Four movies that well. They're not well-loved. They're not particularly well-liked for the most part. And so there is a high... It's a tricky tightrope Marvel's walking here to try and sell people on the Fantastic Four. And I feel like this is making this makes things more complicated for them. It's going to draw a lot of attention to this one particular aspect. And I also think it's a no-win situation. So either this is now the MCU Silver Surfer, so we're never going to get the Norrin Radd Silver Surfer, which I think is a bummer. Or this exists to, this is like a stopgap before we get to the Norton Rat Silver Surfer, which means you're wasting Julia Garner's talents on a gimmick. Like, there's not, I just don't think there's like a, and again, maybe it's going to be fantastic. No pun intended. But it just feels like you're making things too complicated for yourself. Just do the thing. I think with the Fantastic Four, like, just do the thing and don't, you don't need that. We're going to get into this in a minute, but like, there's a lot of talk about it being set in an alternate universe. It's like, no, guys, just do the Fantastic Four. You don't need all these extra
alternate universe to what?
To the mainline MCU where Iron Man and Captain America and everybody was hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the same alternate universe that the Marvels ends up in?
Unclear. Possibly? Question mark.
Okay. Okay, so anything good about them gender bending Silver Surfer? Like, is there anything that Silver Surfer does that you're like, oh, that would be really cool to see Julia Garner do?
No. But again, like, okay. maybe she's a very talented actress, and one presumes yeah. she went and auditioned for it, and so like there's something that like, oh wow, this is the thing. I don't see it. I don't need to see it. I'm just gonna be a guy in the theater. I just think it ends up making things more complicated. The only positive, and this is a real positive, is like, you know, it's not. The Fantastic Four is famously three guys and a girl. So this adds more than I would argue there are other lady characters that could fit in there. I also have concerns, by the way, that we're already doing Galactus, first Fantastic Four movie. We're already getting the Silver Surfer and Galactus. It's like, guys, you're doing a lot. And I think it's just enough to just introduce the Fantastic Four to the MCU. But whatever.
Do you think they might butcher this movie?
You know, given Marvel's recent track record, I think there's a real, just like you and I have conversations of like, what are the chances that Superman Legacy never sees the light of day? I think it's fair to say maybe this Fantastic Four movie is going to be bad. Maybe it's going to be bad.
Huh. She is currently top billed. Is she going to be like as big as the family?
Doubtful. Maybe that's just because, you know, is that on IMDb? That might just be because star meter, yeah. People buzz, and like, it might not be that. Sometimes I go on IMDb, it's not the way the studio lists it. It's who's got the biggest buzz around them right now.
I guess, but like more buzz than Pedro Pascal.
Good point. I mean, everybody's talking about her Silver Surfer casting. We've got a question here from Leonard Kim in the Discord, which you guys can participate in the Patreon. Do you think the Julia Garner casting is further indication that the F4 could be in an alternate universe or at least a portion of the movie? If so, do you think it could be the same universe that Monica Rambeau got stuck in the Marvels? So this was kind of your question as well, Roxy. Are you up to date about the conversations? People think that this Fantastic Four movie will be set in an alternate reality from the Avengers.
The only thing I know is after I saw this casting of Julia Garner, a lot of people thought that Marvel was doing this so that people wouldn't get confused with it being in our current timeline or current reality, because that way they would be like, oh, that's a girl, that's a guy, clearly different.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know about why people think that.
Again, I see why people, but it's like, if this is just going to be to have this Silver Surfer interact with the classic Silver Surfer, what a waste of Julia Garner. Like, she's so just, I don't know. She would also have been a good Sue Storm, maybe a little young since Pedro Pascal is the Reed Richards. But anyway, in a vacuum. Yeah, so let's get into that. That's what our main topic is going to be today is... We're going to determine it here, folks. Is the upcoming Fantastic Four movie set in an alternate universe from the main MCU 616 or whatever designation that timeline is? The sacred timeline? Is it in a different timeline? And let's start from the beginning. Roxy, have you heard this group, the Fantastic Four? Have you heard of these?
Once or twice. Maybe four times.
Maybe at least four times. First introduced... in the Fantastic Four number one in 1961, created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee as a response to the success of DC Comics' Justice League. There's a bunch of different stories about how this happened. But basically it was like Justice League had just come out of the gate and was doing well. And Marvel, I think it was Timely Comics at the time, was like, ooh, we need something to compete. And the head editor was like, Stan. He was their guy. I need to get in on this because when I was looking at the story, they're like, Stan was already working at Marvel for 20 years. I'm like, how young was Stan Lee when he started at Marvel? Was he literally a fetus when he started at Marvel? Like, I know he was young, but like it couldn't have been 20 years before he created Fantastic Four. That's insane. Anyway.
But the Marvel's response to Justice League was not Avengers. It was Fantastic Four.
Well, because they didn't have Avengers yet. They didn't have the group of characters that would become the Avengers. I think Fantastic Four not only predates characters like Iron Man and Thor, but it predates Spider-Man. It does predate Spider-Man because Spider-Man number one, he teams up with the Fantastic Four to help goose his sales. So Fantastic Four they wanted a team superhero book. They didn't have what DC had, which was a stable of characters that could team up. He just created a team from whole cloth. There are echoes of previous characters. So like Namor existed in the Golden Age of comics. He ends up showing up in an early issue of Fantastic Four. There was a World War II version of the Human Torch, which that name got repurposed for the Johnny Storm version of the character, who is now by far the more popular version. It's kind of probably what DC should have done with Avengers instead of doing their own. They should have just come out of the gate with Justice League. Like, here's our team. Right out of the starting gate.
And where are they with the X-Men at this point?
No, it's not even a glimmer. And Stan, I think that was also Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. It's either this era, it's either Stan Lee and Jack Kirby or Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. That's pretty much, it's Stan Lee and somebody else for these characters.
This is Marvel's first real, team.
I think this is where you could really start. Again, I don't think it was called Marvel Comics at this point, but Marvel as we know them starts here. Captain America had already been introduced, but Marvel as we know it as a brand starts with the Fantastic Four, which is why they're labeled Marvel's first family. They have been adapted multiple times in media. Roxy, do you know the first actor to portray Johnny Storm in media? Have you heard? It was a radio show.
Carson?
It was not Carson. In a pre-SNL, Bill Murray played Johnny Storm on a short-lived radio show in 1975.
Huh.
Let's get him in.
In what way? On a radio show? What did he do?
He just did the voice. So a lot of superhero, like Superman. Kryptonite was first introduced in a Superman radio show. I want to say him flying was first introduced on the radio show, maybe. So before TV, you know, and obviously when TV was first starting, radio was still a big way. So you'd have the Shadow famously had a radio show. But I guess Fantastic Four, that probably would have been as they're moving out, radio is moving out of popularity for stuff like TV. And speaking of TV, in 1979, so just 4 years later, The Thing was featured as half of the Saturday morning cartoon Fred and Barney Meet The Thing. The titular thing was Benji Grimm, a teenage boy who possessed a pair of magic thing rings, which could transform him into the thing when he put them together and said, "Thing rings, do your thing." The other members of the Fantastic Four do not appear in the series, nor do the animated Flintstone stars Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble, despite the title of the program. So even though it's Fred and Barney Meet the Thing, they don't actually meet the thing. It's just half the show is the Flintstones and half the show is the thing. One presumes some coked up studio exec was like, "Rocks," which it's the rock hour of TV. So, you know, they're experimenting with stuff. Maybe not. We're not full on Fantastic Four. We're not ready for the full on Fantastic Four on TV. That show ran for one season of 13 episodes. Moving ahead, we've had four film adaptations of the Fantastic Four. The first was the 1994 Roger Corman production that starred Alex Hyde-White as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Rebecca Staub as Sue Storm, Jay Underwood as Johnny Storm, Michael Bailey Smith as Ben Grimm, Carl Ciarfaglio, I hope I pronounced that right, as The Thing, and Joseph Culp as Doom. The film was made to allow Constantine Films to keep the rights to the characters and therefore was not publicly released though you can find it through less reputable sources, like here on YouTube.
Have you seen it?
I have not. I want to do an episode on it, honestly. I think at some point, like, because again, you can find the whole thing on YouTube. Because it's one of those, that, and there's that failed Justice League pilot that I've never seen. And I would love to do just a full-on breakdown of those, because it's always, you know, when you, before the internet, that's right, everybody, I was alive before the internet as we know it today. You'd hear like murmurs of this stuff, and now you can just find it. You can just like watch that shit. And it's,
you think that will be Batgirl in a few years?
God, I hope so. I mean, it's a bummer that that would be the way to watch it, because the reason stuff like this is lost media is because they were bad. Like, this one wasn't even made to be a real movie. It was literally just a way that the people that had the rights to Fantastic Four could keep the rights. They had no interest in releasing it.
You think the actors knew that at the time?
I'm going to assume no. I'm going to assume not. I'm going to assume they thought, oh shit, we're going to be in a big budget. It wasn't a big budget. We're going to be in a movie. But like, and despite what Warner Brothers has said, I doubt Batgirl. I mean, we live in a post-Madam Web landscape. I doubt Batgirl was any worse than that movie. And it is funny how, like, I love these little, like, lost media, famously bad adaptations. And yet I'm still mad at something like Madam Web. That's all Madam Web's going to be 10 years from now, is a little curiosity that it's like, I can't believe this exists. This is wild. Why did you make a Madam Web movie? Why Madam Web? Oh my God.
So good. That's why.
So now we're getting to the ones everybody knows. In 2005, there was the Tim Story directed movie starring Roxy. How do you pronounce this man's name? Ian Gruffudd? Is that it? Do you know? It's I O A N G. His last name is G R U F F U D D. I've always struggled with this man's first name. Ion?
Well,
Reed Richards.
I don't know.
Jessica Alba, Chris Evans, pre-Captain America Chris Evans, played Human Torch in this movie. Michael Chiklis and Julian McMahon. And there was the sequel, The Rise of the Silver Surfer. Then there's Fant Four Stick. I believe Sam and I were doing this show then. Maybe that was in the SourceFed days. Directed by Josh Trank, starring Miles Teller, Kate Mara, Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, and Toby Kebbell. That movie has a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. Rise of the Silver Surfer, of the movies we've talked about just now, Rise of the Silver Surfer is the highest ranked at 38%. So to the thing we were talking about earlier, Fantastic Four movies, not the best received so far. How many, so of the modern Fantastic Four movies, the two,
I think I've seen all three.
All three?
I believe so.
I think I've seen all three too. The first Tim Story ones bleeded out of my brain.
I know that I saw the first Fantastic, the one in 2005. I know that I saw the most recent Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
The only one that I'm wondering if I saw was Rise of Silver Surfer, which you said is the one that's ranked the best.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember.
I think I might have seen that one because I know I didn't like the first Fantastic Four, so I sat out Rise of the Silver Surfer, but I think I might have caught it on TV on a lazy Sunday. And I remember it not being... People are always surprised about this. Like, I still haven't seen the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie. And it's one of those people are like, how have you not seen it? I'm like, well, because before I did this, I could just not see movies. I could just say, no thanks. I hear it's bad, so no thanks.
How wild is it that that was Chris Evans? Like, yeah. I feel like that's not talked about enough, what a comic book boy he is.
Well, and what's funny about that, too, is... because I remember, I think my first time where Chris Evans really took my notice was that thriller Cellular. And I thought like, oh man, this guy has like Tom Cruise energy in like a good way. And, it's easy to forget post Captain America that his thing was kind of like douchey cool guy. Like that was his brand. And it's funny how much that has been redefined by Captain America, like not just his like roles, but like his persona as off camera as well.
I don't think we'll ever see an actor play as prominent of two superheroes.
Roxy, Mr. Ryan Reynolds is Hal Jordan and is Deadpool. Excuse me. Multiple Deadpools, multiple versions.
That's a big one, but those are two different franchises.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these both being Marvel is wild, no?
What do you think the odds are? Because we keep, like, Sal and I from Mutant Academy, which is another show we do on YouTube, we're talking about Deadpool 2, and there's a whole sequence where they're recruiting an X-Force team, and they wanted a cameo of Chris Evans as Human Torch because they thought it'd be funny. We keep, and we people keep talking about, like, maybe in Multiverse of Madness, they're like, what if Chris Evans showed up as Human Torch? Do you think we will ever get that joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Will it be Deadpool and Wolverine that we finally get that joke?
No.
Okay. Here, I count rebuttal, if I may.
Okay.
Chris Evans does make a cameo in Free Guy, which is another Ryan Reynolds joint directed by the same guy directing Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay. It's possible.
So I'm just saying.
You don't think you would know?
It depends. You know, it depends on how they do it, because the Clea reveal at the end of Doctor Strange with Charlize Theron and the Hercules reveal at Thor Love and Thunder, they were able to keep those under wraps. So I think it's like,
that does happen.
Maybe if they shoot it on the volume, is that what it is? The Mandalorian. Maybe if they shoot it on the volume and not like on location. Although it does feel like between Deadpool and the new Daredevil show, Marvel's getting more loosey goosey with that. It's like, yeah, fucking Punisher's in the show. Here he is. Whatever. Here's set photos. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yeah. I would like that.
He's a handsome boy. Put him on our screens. Okay. So this brings us to as often as possible.
No, Boston. Boston.
Boston. Yeah. I was going to ask a dumb question because I know, like, I want to say there was like a it was probably for a car, like a Boston ad that had like John Krasinski and Chris Evans. And so I was going to be like, is Ryan Reynolds like, no, Ryan Reynolds is very famously Canadian. He's very, he's very much a Canadian boy, which is not Boston. For those that didn't know, you're welcome. closer than we are now. So that brings us to this latest version that will be hitting theaters in 2025, starring Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Eben Moss-Bachrock. This was the first image that revealed the cast. This was dropped on Valentine's Day, if I remember correctly. And here's where we get into the theories about it being set in an alternate continuity. And it all comes, it mostly stems from this magazine, if you guys are watching the video, of Ben Grimm, The Thing, looking at a Time magazine. And I know what you're thinking, Roxy. I can hear you through the screen. You're like, DJ, can you enhance that? And boy, howdy, I can. Here you go. And I even, you know, this is serious. This is a serious Easter egg because I put a red ring around it and there's a red arrow to the Life magazine that everybody is saying this is a reference to. I don't know about you, Roxy. I'm sure that they're right that this is the Life magazine. It's a little less clear than I think people are saying. I feel like, yeah, sure. I'm sure that could be the magazine.
Yeah, I don't know, because of the flag placement too, it really looks like it. But before you told me that it was Life magazine, it to me looked like it said MIT.
Yes. So, yeah. And you know, so, this is probably one of those things I'm going to crack wise, cause that's what I do. I talk trash. People have been right about these things before, but anyway, point is this magazine is cover dated 1963, starring famously Lyndon Johnson. And so people started talking about this as if it was an acknowledgement that this movie would be set in the 60s. And of course, if it's set, the train of thought is, if this is set in the 60s, nobody's mentioned the Fantastic Four in the main MCU so far. So how could it be, how could they have existed in the 60s, but nobody's mentioned them? I would count. So therefore, they must be on an alternate Earth. I would counter. We just confirmed that Daredevil and the Defenders are in the MCU and nobody mentioned them before that. And they were happening at the same time. So
just confirmed that there were a couple of crossovers.
But it was unclear that, at least this is the way the discourse has gone. It was unclear whether, like, so Charlie Cox's Daredevil is like him showing up in No Way Home. That the same Charlie Cox's Daredevil as the one of Defenders? I think if you'd asked Marvel then, they would have said no. And I think now the answer has changed to being a yes, especially for those that watched Echo. There were some direct callbacks to things that happened in Daredevil season one. Also, like, we just saw Lyndon Johnson was in the 60s. I don't know, you, Roxy, he doesn't come up in conversation a lot. So people could have existed in a previous decade without me mentioning them. That's a thing that happens.
Yeah, but I think when people say that, I mean, obviously you're speaking about a president, so it's kind of similar, but I think they mean like we needed their help. Where were they?
Yeah, people do mention that with Thanos, although I will say if they were active in the 60s, maybe they weren't tip-top shape in 20-whatever when Thanos was snapping. But you are right, and that is part of the theory. That lends credence to the theory. Here's mm-hmm. the other thing. We just got another piece of promotional art on April 4th for 4 Day. By the way, I love these promotional pieces. They look really cool and they get me excited for the movie. They do. So mm-hmm. we see Joseph Quinn as the Human Torch in flame on mode, creating a flaming four in the sky, which should technically be impossible, but hey, he's a flaming man. It doesn't matter. And it's something he does in the comics all the time. But here's what people were focused on when it comes to this theory of being an alternate universe is the skyline in the background. Enhance. Uh-oh, here comes another red ring. That's how you know it's important. Fantastic Four is famously based in New York City. This does not look like the MCU background of the MCU's version of New York City. It looks like retro-futuristic. I will say it looks very cool. And this has lent, instead of a stylistic choice, this has seemed to lend credence to the fact that maybe this Fantastic Four is set in an alternate reality. How are you feeling about that so far? The two pieces of evidence.
Well, the buildings that we just saw look like a piece of art. It would be kind of wild to see that circular, the three circles on spheres, like yeah. or whatever on top of each other in an actual movie.
Yes.
I'm wondering if people are reading a little bit too much into that, or if that is not New York, if it is, because you were just talking about Silver Surfer, you're talking about alien stuff, like is
maybe
it possible
an alien world
that, yeah,
maybe an alien world. I'm not against that, actually. I think that'd be pretty cool. And that's, but I was gonna say, next piece of evidence, that's basically it. As of this recording, I did see Joseph Quinn, who plays Johnny Storm, was at one of these events, one of these like fan events, I think in like Brazil or something. And I saw something that quoted him as saying, he was talking about how he originally tried out for the Spider-Man role that went to Tom Holland. And he would really like to see Human Torch hang out with, and he was quoted as saying MCU 616 Spider-Man, which seems very specific. That said, I saw this in an Instagram post. I have not since been able to corroborate it. I wasn't able to like chase it down. So I don't know how accurate that is. Leave it in the comments if you know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about. But if he specifically said that, I would like my Human Torch to hang out with 616 Spider-Man. It's like, all right, well, okay, so it's an alternate universe. that's what that means.
So is alternate universe like that bad of an idea?
I think it's, for one, I don't know about you, Roxy. I don't know that I feel like Marvel has been nailing the multiverse concept. I feel like it's mostly been kind of confusing. And so basing the introduction of one of your marquee teams, arguably since the Avengers are not, our core Avengers team isn't what it used to be, arguably you're the cornerstone of your, what could be the cornerstone of your franchise, them and X-Men. Basing that in an alternate reality, I think is, I would argue, is a mistake. For one, it just adds a layer of complication, and it also makes them, we already have two characters in the MCU that are time displaced. And granted, this would theoretically, if they get sucked into Secret Wars happens, there's a big multiverse battle, and everybody gets consolidated into a new universe. One, that puts you in a position where you now need to, if their Fantastic Four movie happens before that, then Fantastic Four is going to have to reintroduce them into the main MCU. Two, that makes them conceptually kind of close to both Captain America and Captain Marvel, who are also two time displaced. They existed in one time, now they exist in our time. And so it runs the risk of them being redundant. Where if I think you just said, hey, the Avengers are broken up as of this movie. We had an alien guy snap up half of reality. we're going to send this team to do space adventures. Oh, man, hey, they got hit with cosmic rays, and now they have powers. The Fantastic Four is part of our universe now. I think that's a much more streamlined introduction as opposed to, well, we're going to introduce them in an alternate universe, and that's going to set up our big alternate universe battle. And then when the big alternate universe battle it's like when all the shenanigans around, like, Kara Danvers being in a different universe than Grant Gustin's Flash, even once they're on the same network, and it's like, why are we doing this? Just have them be in the same universe. why are we giving ourselves all these hoops?
Okay, can I tell you my thoughts on this, DJ?
Please, and thank you.
So, well, it's interesting that you just related it to the Flash Kara thing, because that is what I was thinking about when you were talking about this a little bit. For the reasons that I wanted them to be in the same universe is because they were interacting all of the time. Mm-hmm. It was almost like a joint story at that point. And they all were coming up together at the same time.
Yeah.
Kara and Barry and even Oliver, yeah. Like they were all together at the same time. Why does Oliver sound wrong right now?
No, you're right.
Queen.
Jesus, yeah, Queen. Christ. Yeah.
I was like, Ollie, geez. Yeah. Oliver Queen. They're all coming up together at the same time. For this, you know, and this was the big controversy when we had Hector on, I want a total reboot.
Yeah.
And I think that that is the best move moving forward. And this is closer, doing an alternate timeline is closer to a reboot than putting these people in the same universe that we've had 35 movies already in.
Yeah.
I almost want this to never touch, talk about, or think about anything from the past that we've done ever. So I like setting this back, and I like putting this somewhere else, and I like saying, let's just focus on us right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to touch anything else. I don't want to reference anybody. I don't want to, or the people that you know, I don't even want that to be on your mind. I just want to make a solid Fantastic Four movie. And the only thing you're thinking about is Fantastic Four universe. So that the conversations around like Silver Surfer, that's a valid one because that's a Fantastic Four character, right? Like those are the central focus, and not like, but are they going to be talking about where were they during the Thanos time and how old would they have been then? And why didn't they meet anybody, any of our characters that were back in time? And in the show, are they going to mention Steve Rogers because had they heard of him as a war hero, whatever it is, like, I just want something I can watch without having to have seen 50,000 other things, even though I've seen those 50,000 other things.
Yeah.
I just want like its own thing. And then if you want to expand and it is doing well, then in a couple of movies, you can time travel or jump. And while that is a little redundant, at least it's not taking away from introducing our characters.
Do you think, I think those are all valid points. And I think, you know, from our conversation with Hector, maybe I'll remember where this is in the timeline and put a little link in the, up in the tags or whatever to check out that video. You know, I'm more on your side of reboot. In that accessibility, do you not think, and I think I have an argument against what I'm about to ask now, but I do feel like there is a way that, I don't know that MCU would do it, but I do think there is a way to have it, have your fantastic movie set in the MCU we know, but not have it be burdened by. You don't have to have seen all the other things.
I do think there is a way.
Yeah.
Are they going to go with that way?
Yeah, I think because this is where, maybe this is where the part of me that agrees with Hector starts to kick in. I agree with Joseph Quinn. I want to see the MCU... Human Torch hang out with Tom Holland, Spider-Man. I desperately want that. That'd be so cool. I want, and that's one of my big issues with, like, guys, Wolverine's coming to the MCU. It's Hugh Jackman again. And it's like, no, I want to see the MCU's Wolverine again, hang out with Spider-Man. All of this circles around who I want to see hang out with Spider-Man. Give me Charlie Cox. We've already seen Charlie Cox with Peter Parker, Matt Murdock with Peter Parker. I want to see Daredevil hang out with Spider-Man. Like, give it to me.
I want to see my Fantastic Four movie because you want to see your Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, but again, I do think, like, I hear your point, and I do think setting it in its own timeline contributes to, allows it space to do its own thing. I still think they could mess that up. Because maybe they'll try and inject a Kang or whatever, and like, hey, here's how they get into Secret Wars. But
not Kang. Oh my god.
Oh no. He was trending today on Twitter/X, and I clicked on it, but it was some South Korean pop star. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh. All right. Good for you. I don't know what's going on, but I support this, I think. We can be done with Kang in the MCU, but whoever this Kang is, you go. It could be its own thing. I do like that. Do you think, what if, let me throw this your way. Could this be how we get to our reboot, in that there is an Iron Man in this universe, and there is a Spider-Man in this universe, and there is a whatever, X-Men or whoever. And maybe
if it's alternate.
It's alternate, and this will become the prime timeline. That is a little weird that it's set in the 60s, but whatever. Everything's on the table.
That'd be so cool.
Okay. All right. I want it to be simple. I just want my Fantastic Four and you could do a cool thing, and this goes against everything you're saying, Roxy, but you could do a cool like flashback where you see that like Reed Richards was hanging out with Tony Stark before he died. Like he was around, he just wasn't fantastic yet, but he was a science guy that was helping with stuff.
You could see that.
Okay. All right. Point taken. We got a couple questions from the Discord. Jake Hefner asked, do you think having the Fantastic Four set in the 60s will help or hurt it? We were just discussing that. I think here's the other thing that we didn't mention, though, that having known you for as long as I do, you like the 60s, 70s, you like that era. So you are going to like being set in that time.
Totally. Except for the one show that I was disappointed by from the MCU, and by one show I was disappointed, not the one show I didn't like, the one show that I went into hoping to love and didn't love, even though everybody else did, was WandaVision.
And so, fun fact, the guy directing Fantastic Four directed WandaVision.
So the 60s era, to me, that part of WandaVision, like, while it was really cool as a short, didn't necessarily work in the whole show the way that I was hoping it would.
Well, now you're going to get a whole movie.
So that does give me... What'd you say?
Now you're going to get a whole movie of it.
Yeah, so that does give me cause for pause, but no. I do love the 60s. I do love the 60s, 70s. So fun. I love period pieces in general, but like the costume makeup vibe of 60s, 70s, at the same reason that I love when they go to the 90s, like there's just such a distinct vibe about it that's really cool.
Yeah. Second half of Jake Hefner's question, what lessons do you think should be taken from the previous two iterations of FF4 to make sure this one is the best it can be?
Well, what were the biggest complaints, DJ?
I think I don't remember the specific complaints, although I will say that the fact that we don't remember it is kind of telling, and that they were not memorable. I think for me, it would be, I think make it more memorable and I think lean into, because the Tim Story ones leaned in the family aspect. I think there was, I will say, for Fant Four Stick, the Josh Trank movie, I would argue, even though there's some interesting aspects to the body horror element they tried to introduce, I would say do not go too far afield. Kind of stick to the core of the characters. To that point, that's probably one of the reasons why I'm a little nervous about this alternate reality, yada, yada, yada. It's like, ooh, you guys are going a little far afield. I know it's weird for me to say this, but I play it a little safer. but the Tim Story ones did stick to the core of the characters, but I think it felt more sitcom-y. And so I guess the counter to that point is, and maybe this is a good reason to introduce the Silver Surfer, the Fantastic Four is a great avenue to explore big ideas. And so maybe lean into that, some of the big sci-fi. I would lean into I would look at the Star Trek TV shows for inspiration, because they're about a team of competent people working together to solve larger than life problems. That's the Fantastic Four. So
I think that when I look back on the movies that I don't remember well, I don't remember disliking any of the chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't remember the casting being the issue. I feel like this all comes down to script.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Mike Joyce, everyone online seems excited for F4, even though they've never had a good movie. Do you think it can live up to the hype? This goes back to the question we were asking of, will they mess it up?
Yeah, but I think the opposite side of will they mess it up is it could live up to the hype, right?
It could. Do you think, let me phrase it this way. How do you think this movie will fare in this era where Marvel doesn't have the guaranteed goodwill it used to? And by that, I mean, there are some movies I felt that we look back on fondly that are not MCU movies, particularly that we look back on fondly that aren't particularly good, but people liked because the MCU had all of the, especially post Avengers, had all of the goodwill in the world. And that's not the place they're in now.
Yeah. You know, as you were telling me about the history of Fan4 a little bit, even talking about like the Scooby-Doo stuff, and it's like, that would never fly now. That wouldn't be good enough. People would be like, what the hell is this? But at the time, that sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that the MCU, one of the biggest hurdles it has is that it continues to raise the bar.
Yeah.
And then now it's having a hard time living up to the bar that it raised.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have that goodwill, even though the reason the bar is there is because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they always have the opportunity to live up to that. But when we did an episode a while ago, I forget which one it was, where we talked about who has the best shot right now, who's in the best position. Is it Star Wars? Is it DC? Is it Marvel? Like who, or maybe I was talking about that with Christian and you sitting somewhere, whatever it was. Yeah. I think that DC is in a much better position right now because they didn't raise the bar.
They only have, it's only up. They can only go up.
Kind of. Yeah. So it's like, while I think that Marvel has earned our goodwill in a lot of ways, it makes it even harder for them to succeed now.
I agree. And I think this goes back to your point of the reboot, not just because you kind of get to start fresh, but it also unburdens them from stuff like the snap, which like within Endgame, the fact that it was permanent in Endgame was like, wow, this is crazy. And now, however many projects later, you're like, yeah, man, this, you guys keep tripping over the snap situation. Like, it'd be cool to just not have to worry about that anymore and just have it be its own thing. So we will see. We've got a whole year to see how this Fantastic Four movie is shaping up. Let us know in the comments whether you think it's an alternate universe, who you think should play Galactus. Let us know. But Roxy, where can the kids find the stuff that you're working on?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter/X.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
And again, thank you guys as we are experimenting with the format. If you like it, share it. Send it to let people know. If you have thoughts, let us know in the comments as well. And we will see you all